right, welcome to Jesus' coming Sunday school class. And he is. Amen. Is there anyone here that has not filled out one of these cards? You've not been here to fill out one of these cards, please. If I don't see. Oh, all right, Brother Dave. Anyone else need one? That's all right. Thank you. All right. Appreciate that very much. I'd like to encourage our class. We have a spring program coming up here through into April. And I'd just like to encourage you. Excuse me. Oh, okay. Yes, sir. I would like to encourage you to just make it a kind of a daily prayer. Let's invite people, okay? Even to our Sunday school class. Let's just keep that in our mind. We'd like to see our class grow. And just as you meet people, talk to people, just remember to give them an invitation to Sunday school. Amen. And certainly church, but I want to ask you, please, to make that a matter of prayer, and to just work on that with me. I want to do that too. We want to get folk like to just see more seats filled here and down at that younger class too. So if you do that, I'd appreciate it very, very much. I don't know whether you knew it or not, but they discovered gold in Jerusalem. Well, not exactly, but right outside the Jerusalem wall, they was doing excavation, work, and it was in a parking lot, and there was it was just outside what they call the Dung Gate in Jerusalem, and there was a British tourist that was over there, and he had volunteered to help in the excavation work. He just wanted to volunteer. And he found a whole hoard of gold coins from the 7th century. And I think it was 264 of those coins he found right outside the wall of Jerusalem. That's neat, isn't it? Is how, God preserved them there all those years and allowed them to be found. And thought that was interesting. I want to, I'm sure you... you remember the attack that Israel has had on it from Hamas over into the Gaza Strip, the many multitudes of rockets that has been sent into Israel over these last years. And I just kind of wanted to read you some statistics on that. It's amazing because Israel gets blamed for everything. Israel, they're the fault. They're the reason they went in there and destroyed all of this in Gaza. And of course, they're not. It's because they was constantly bombarded with rockets. But I just wanted to read to you. It says, the title of it is South Hit by 849 Rockets. Said a total of 849 rockets were fired at Israel from Gaza during Operation Cast Lead. That was that when Israel went into Gaza to attack them. During that time, there was 849 rockets fired. He said, also according to the police, said the rockets killed 4 people, seriously wounded 8, moderately wounded another 9 and caused 51 people to have slight light wounds. Paramedics also treated a total of 295 people for shock. Also, it gives some other numbers over here at different time periods. But it said rockets fired at Israel from Gaza since Israel unilaterally withdrew in 2005 has been 6,500 plus. That's rockets coming into their land. said rockets fired at Israel from Gaza in 2008 alone was 3,200 plus. Then it goes and gives a little bit on the, says the Israel, when they attacked Gaza, went in there to attack the Hamas, says the number of trucks carrying humanitarian supplies into Gaza from Israel, and it says during the first week of the operation was 400 trucks. You see, Israel already planned it. As they went into Gaza, they knew there was going to be great destruction, and they sent humanitarian aid in behind. What enemy does that? And he says, in total humanitarian aid sent to Gaza since 26th of December 2008 has been over 10,000 tons. You see, that's Israel. And yet Israel is always blamed. That's because she's God's chosen, and she always will be. It goes back, we read to you one day from Psalms 83, where it said even back then the desire of her enemies and the surrounding countries is to destroy her as a nation, and that's what they'd like to do right now. But they won't. God's promises are true, and they'll never get it done. All right, what we're going to do today is I'm going to do a lesson. We done two lessons on helping those that's coming up behind us. And I hope that was a help, because we need to keep that in mind. There's these young children, there's these teenagers, there's the younger adults that's coming up. They're going to be the leadership one day. And we've got to help them prepare for that. And I hope that during those last two lessons, it was a help and encouragement to you to keep that in your mind. Keep an eye on those around you. There's times when you can help them. You can be a blessing. You can just encourage them. You can exhort them. But just be careful and remember, younger ones are not where you are. They haven't been through everything you have. And we've just got to help build them and encourage them and help to bring them along, because let's face it, they'll be in our shoes one day, and they will be in leadership capacities. So let's do that. Today, what I want to do is I want to bring a lesson on Jesus Christ, the anchor of our soul. Now, we're going to have this lesson, and then next week, Lord willing, next week, I'm going to start on a series of studies in the book of Judges. The book of Judges is very prevalent for today, and I think we can glean some tremendous things out of the book of Judges. We'll, Lord willing, begin that this coming next Sunday. But today, I just want to talk to you about the anchor of our soul, who is Jesus Christ. And I want to go to the book of Hebrews, the sixth chapter of the book of Hebrews. I'm going to start reading at verse number 13, the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. I seen Brother John Reiser come in, and John, I wanted to tell you a story, and I think it would be good for our whole class. I was down to see your dad again this week, and I stopped in to talk to him, and he had been in the restroom, and so I had to wait on him, and there was a nurse there, just a young nurse, and we began to talk, and I began to talk to her about spiritual things, and she said, "Oh, yes." She said, "I am saved." And she said, "Oh, by the way," and everybody down there calls him Rick. And that, you know, that's his name. But she said to me, she said, "By the way," she said, "Rick in there helped get me back into church." And then she made this statement. She said, "He has had some effect on others around here too." And John, I just wanted you to know that. I went in and told your dad that, tickled him to death. But I wanted you to know that, because, you know, sometimes we wonder the whys. Why is all of this? Why, you know, why is he down at the nursing home? Why is, you know, his health bad and all these things? But I want to tell you, God is still using him. And I wanted you to know that, John. And I did. I went in and told him, and it did. It just tickled him to death. John told me a story about him the other day about his dad. He said his dad told him, he said, "Well, John," he said, I just want to do whatever God wants me to do. I'm not going to backslide." That's a good statement. "I'm just not going to backslide. Okay, what kind of condition I'm in," and here he is up there, and his neck is all bent over like this. He can't, they're trying to get a brace, I think. I've been told that God help him hold that up, you know, but he's all like this. Can't even look at you when he talks to you, but he just praises the Lord and thanks God. And I just want you to know, you know what? God still uses us, even in the most dire situations. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for that preacher that preached all these years and just done a good job, loved the Lord, and still being used of the Lord. But anyway, over in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, 13th verse, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear of no greater, he sware by himself, saying, Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us." And then he goes on to say, "Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth in that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." He's talking about the hope that you and I have. Jesus Christ is that hope. Now, I understand that some of the things I'm going to say are just simple truths. But boy, we need to understand that Jesus Christ is that anchor of our soul. He's what anchors us. You know, when we talk about the hope here that he talks about, he's not talking about, as you know, some hope so, maybe so, hope this happens thing. The hope he's talking about is a hope that is sure, secure, and steadfast. It's like this blessed hope here. Blessed hope, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, is not something that we look at and think, well, we hope one day. No, it's coming. It's for sure. It's a for sure hope. And just as sure as that, his coming, the hope we have in the fact that Jesus is the anchor of our soul is for sure. It's secure. It's steadfast. No doubt whatsoever about it. And so he was trying to encourage us that wonderful anchor that we have, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But he says, Paul said, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. It's a steadfast hope, folks. You have Christ as your Savior today. Oh, never forget. He is your hope. He's the anchor that holds that hope. He's everything. And I guess today what I just wanted to encourage you in this. And this is not new truths. This is not something you don't hear every day and every week here at Blessed Hope. But I just want you to know, I want you in your daily life to understand you are anchored by Jesus Christ. He's your hope, steadfast and sure, no doubt whatsoever. So what does an anchor do? You know, in Bible times, and I read about this, I honestly was not back there, but I read about it. They tell me the Greeks used to use big stones as anchors. They would take the ropes and wrap them around great big stones, and that was what they would use. Romans used iron as anchors. Sometimes, I have read where sometimes some of the ships had up to 7 or 8 anchors. These anchors was very, very, very important. And our hope in Christ that anchors us is very, very, very important. Listen to what he says. I won't take time to turn over there, but listen in 1 Peter, the first chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, the hope we have in Christ is not a dead hope, it's live. Amen? It is alive. It's a lively hope. You see, these that don't trust in Christ, they have a dead hope. They don't have anything. But in Jesus Christ, he's alive because he rose again. And it's a lively hope, you see. And that's what you and I have. We have that. Amen? That's what gives us stability, you see, in life. The other thing that I read was that over in the Mediterranean, along the harbors where they pulled into these places, they would sometimes dig a massive hole in the ground along the shore. And they would put into that a real, real massive rock. They would move it, take multitudes of people to move it, and they'd move that rock and embed it into the ground along the harbor. And what they would do then, the ships would come into that harbor and they would tether their lines to that rock. Amen? And in fact, a lot of times they talked about it, and we even see it in verse 20, whether the forerunner, talking about the forerunner, they would take what they talk small boats, and they would put the anchor in the small boat and take it into the shore and tether it to that large rock. And then the sailors could take and pull the boat into the harbor. Well, that's what Jesus done for us. He went to heaven's shore. And he's the rock of our salvation. And we've got a line already established in heaven's shore. That's the line of faith. You can look at that rock or that rope that goes and hooks up the anchor, you see, and to the boat. Well, I want to tell you something. We've got an anchor, and it's Jesus. And we're tethered already to heaven's shore. See, this isn't something that in God's eyes, it's already accomplished. In God's eyes, we're already his. We're already in the future there. See? And it's because of Jesus. You see, he's our anchor. And I guess I want to just encourage you folks, just remember that throughout the days of life. We was talking with someone this morning. Someone said, you know, life gets tough, doesn't it? And it does. There's times, there's difficulties. But boy, remember to look ahead. Look over there on heaven's shore. Our rock's already there. Amen. We're tethered to it. Amen. You see, that's what a forerunner does, you see. And a word, the word forerunner, can be used, and one of the meanings for it is it's a group of people that goes ahead of time, like in a battle. They would go into the other to the front line and check things out and makes everything was secure for those coming behind. They was the bravest of soldiers. These forerunners went ahead, and they was the bravest of those. They was willing to lay down their life for those coming behind. See, again, I want to say that's what Jesus did. Jesus went before us. He was the forerunner. He went before us. He got everything taken care of for us. Amen. Laid his life down for us so that we have security You see, we know without a doubt that we're going to go to heaven because of him. And it's secure. Nothing can ever, ever, ever change that, you see. He's the forerunner of our life. He died for us, willing to give his life so that we could have safety and enter into heaven one of these days. Now, another thing about the anchor was when the sailors and the ships went to sea, they never, ever, ever left their anchor back on the shore. They took it with them. And the thing about that was it would be suicide not to take the anchor. They needed that. They needed that for stability. Now, I'm just going to say this, and I think all of you will probably say a hearty amen, but, you know, you can't leave your anchor as you go through life. You got to have your anchor. You just gotta have him. I don't know in my lifetime how many times I've heard the statement, how can anyone do without him? How many times have you made that, or have I made that? How can anyone do without Jesus Christ? How can anyone get along without the Lord? You got to have your anchor. Amen. And I think that's a reminder. He says to us in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, 5th verse, let your conversation be without covetous, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. See, that's one of the greatest things about it is, it's not us leaving the anchor. The anchor's never going to leave us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. Again, folks, as you go through life, I don't care what kind of situation you're in, you and I's got to remember, he hasn't forsook us. He's promised in his word he won't. He sometimes, you know, an anchor usually gets hid under the water. You may not see him all the time, but he's there. He's secure. And he said, I will absolutely never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a promise of God. Amen. So I know life gets tough. Yeah, I do. I know about that. But I want to tell you something. He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I don't care where you're at. He's always there. He says in Isaiah, and I love this verse of scripture in Isaiah 43rd chapter. He says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. He says, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. God says, and you could put that after every one of those statements, when thou passest through the waters, he says, I will be with thee. And we could say, and through the rivers, I will be with thee, and shall not overflow thee. I will be with thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, I will be with thee. Thou shalt not be burnt. Why? Because thy will be with thee. Amen. What a promise of God. Isn't that wonderful? And he just wants you and I to know daily, on a daily basis. I don't care who you are. I don't know about you, but sometimes do you feel a little unimportant? Do you feel like sometimes that, you know, maybe God's not near as interested in you, maybe as he is in somebody else? Well, let me tell you, that's not true. That God is no respecter of persons. He's just as interested in your life as he is mine or anyone else's. Amen. Boy, keep that in mind. Don't ever forget it. No matter what you're going through, he says, I will be with thee. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful truth. And again, remember, because the anchor just gives you stability. It gives you strength and stability and security, you see. And that's what Jesus does. In Psalms, the 18th chapter, and this is a wonderful verse, he says, thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. The other day we was in, I know it's been back some time, Donna and I was in her house, and she kind of got up out of a chair. She'd been sitting there for a while, and she kind of went like this, you know, and she kind of took small steps, you know, for a little while. Did you ever do that? You ever do that? Yeah. I do. I sometimes get up and I think, oh, I can't hardly move, you know. And you had to take small steps till you kind of get your equilibrium and back and everything, and then you can kind of step it up a little bit and, you know, go. Well, God says, thou hast enlarged my steps under me. And, you know, spiritually speaking, we can step big. Amen. It's not like our physical problems, but we can step big. You know why? Because we got an anchor. Got Jesus Christ, our precious Savior, that anchors our soul. Amen. And he said in 1 Peter, the first chapter, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That word kept means to be guarded. You're guarded, you're kept. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing? Just sitting here this morning knowing that God is guarding you, he's keeping you. I mean, no matter what happens, he knows. Amen. He's your anchor. No doubt about it. I don't care who you are. You're God's child. He's your anchor. He's not going to leave you. Not going to forsake you. Amen. Going to enlarge your steps. Amen. No matter what happens today, what happens tomorrow, God's our anchor. Amen. You know, he gives us security in salvation. That's a wonderful thing. I've talked to so many people, you have too, that don't have that security. Some of them been taught that you can be lost again. I was telling brother, who was it, yesterday, we went on visitation, and I was telling him yesterday, we J.R. Weddle, we was talking about this, and I said back, we was talking about the charismatic group that don't believe in eternal security. And I was telling him after I was saved, maybe a couple of years, working at Anaconda Aluminum Company, and there was a charismatic fellow that always wanted to give me a hard time because I believed I was God's child and was going to be forever. And he wanted to give me a hard time, and he said, he said, what if you just got mad at me today and just give me a cursing? He said, you think you'd still go to heaven? I said, well, first of all, I'm going to do my best not to get mad at you. And if I do get mad at you, I'm going to do my best not to curse you. But I want to tell you, my salvation is secure in Jesus Christ. And I said to him, back there, I'd done stupid things anyway. Still do sometimes. Back there, he was walking along down there. We was coming back from dinner. And I said, let me ask you a question. I said, what if I just drew back and popped you in the nose? That's silly, but that's what I said. And I said, how would you react? And he said, I'm going to tell you right now, I'd be mad. In fact, I'd probably be popping back. I said, would you lose your salvation? Would you not go to heaven if you died of a heart attack right then? Here's what he said. Probably not. Probably not. You see, the trust is all in men. In ourselves, and it can't be there. Our trust is in Jesus. And I don't think for one moment I ought to go out popping people or doing any of these things that's wrong. I'm just saying to you, that's not where my anchor's at, in me. My anchor is in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's where your anchor has to be. Amen. And there's a lot of tough things that happen in life, but Jesus Christ never varies. He's always the same. I wish I could explain it in words, but I wish I could explain to you better than I can the love of Jesus Christ. The love of Jesus Christ is an agape love that is not determined by my actions or yours. Now you listen to this. It is absolutely not determined by your actions, what I do, or yours. His love is a love that loves no matter what. It never varies. Now, you and I, our love for each other sometimes varies like this because of the actions one will do to the other. We'll be up and down on that. His absolutely never varies. No matter what I do today, listen to me, no matter what I do today, His love will never change for me one iota. How he deals with me, he may have to deal with me over some things, but the love is never changed. I want to tell you something. You get a hold of that thing. It is tremendous. It never changes. No, you think, well, if I do this, then God's not going to love me much. Oh, no, 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 no. His love never, absolutely never changes. Can't. Impossible. He may change some ways and way he deals with you and I. Sure. But the love never changes. It's an agape love. You get a hold of that thing, and I'm going to tell you something. It is amazing. That's the only kind of love Jesus could have, see. He couldn't be walking around, well, I'm mad at that guy, you know, I got to do something. That don't even enter his mind. His love is perfect, steadfast, secure. He's our anchor. And that anchor will never leave us nor forsake us. Can't. He's security in our salvation, you see. He's a fortress when we're attacked. He's a good place to run to. Amen. He's a hospital when we're hurting. Whew. And boy, do we hurt sometimes. But boy, he's a good hospital. Amen. And he's always there. Always. He gives us strength in the storms of life. And we have a lot of storms. Sometimes personal storms that we have. There's the storm of temptation. Folks, every one of us face temptations. It's a matter of life. But he's our anchor. Here's what he says in 1 Corinthians 10. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. See, there again, it's God that's faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now, I haven't literally argued with God, but there's been times I said, yeah, but God, you know, that's just a pretty hard temptation, trial or something. But he said, I've made a way of escape. It's there. Amen. Just look for it. It's there. Yeah, he's our anchor. See, he's the one that's going to help us during those temptations. Most of the time, the problem is not him, it's us. Amen. Yeah, it's us. But look around. He's made a way of escape. Sometimes you had to run. Sometimes you had to flee. But that's what he's provided. Amen. And then there's always fears. In Hebrews 2nd chapter, he says, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. In other words, the word secure means to hold up. He's able to hold up those that are tempted. And then, like I said, there's a fears. Here's what he says in Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. See, once again, he says, you know, it's not you. I'm there. I'm your God. I'll help you. Amen. See, that's the anchor we have. That's the anchor of our soul, Jesus Christ, and he's promised to always be there. Amen. Also says in Isaiah 43, But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name. And I like what he says in the last three words, thou art mine. See, you're his. Isn't that right? If you're saved, aren't you not his? Yeah. He says, you know, he said, I've created you, I've formed you, he said, I've redeemed you, I have called thee by thy name, you're mine. Amen. Boy, that'll help a lot. And then there's the troubles and trials that come to our life. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You see, there's a lot of afflictions. You and I know that. There's things that come to each and every. He said it's just kind of light affliction. It don't last long. It's you know, it'll be over. Amen. Patty King was saying this morning, she said, I sometimes think about life, and she said, I think there's going to be a day when I can say it's done, it's over. And every one of us will be able to do that. It's behind us, you see, it's done. And Jesus being the rock, the anchor of our soul. In Psalms 23, for though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Jesus is going to also be with you in death. Now, I don't know, I'm probably weirdo sometimes, but the other day I was just sitting and I was thinking about death. I wasn't thinking about it in a morbid way. I was just thinking about what it's going to be like when you take that last breath and you see your Savior. Just kind of wondering. You know, I don't know, because I couldn't figure it out. He didn't tell me exactly what it was going to be. But I just thought about that. I thought, you know, one day, and nobody can go through that for me. Now, they can help me, they can be there and all that, but they still can't go through death for me or with me. They got to do that on their own. Amen. But I was just thinking about that, and I think how Jesus has promised to be with me even in death. He's the anchor. He will be there. On February the 23rd, 155 A.D., a Roman officer publicly demanded that Polycarp, he was a disciple of John and the pastor of the Smyrna church, he commanded him to renounce Jesus Christ. Here's what he said. He said, 86 years have I served him, and he has done me no harm. How can I revile my king that saved me? The Roman soldiers said, then I'll bring out the beast, and I'll turn you loose and turn them loose on you. He said, bring them on. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll burn you at the stake. And he said, why should I worry about a fire that burns for an hour when you forget the fire of eternal hell never goes out? An hour later, his body was smoldering in the fire. But Jesus was his anchor. Now, I'm not taking that lightly. I'm simply saying, what would we have done? All I know, I'm thankful for Polycarp that set that example. There was another man, Ignatius. He was the pastor of the Church of Antioch for 40 years, they say. And he was brought and thrown to the lions in a Colosseum. And some of his last words were this. He said, I would rather die for Christ than rule the whole world. Amen. Yeah. There was a young lady by the name of Cassie Bernal, saved 2 years. Columbine High School in Littleton, Colorado. April 20th, 1999. In about a month, school would be out, and she was in the library studying her Bible, as she always done on the lunch break. Gunfire erupted in the school hallways and classrooms. One of the gunmen entered the library, and Cassie reportedly knelt and prayed, which angered the attacker. He approached her and asked her sarcastically if she believed in God. She paused, then said one word, yes. The gunman asked her why, but Cassie had no time to answer before she was shot to death and left to die on the library floor. Jesus was her anchor. You know, I could tell you story after story. I don't have time, but Jesus was her anchor. She just simply believed in God. Let me give you something. Over 2 million Christians, listen to this, Over 2 million Christians per year are persecuted for Christ's sake across the world. Now listen to this. See, we think those back days is when everything was so bad and so many people got... No, it's today. 150,000 Christians per year are martyred for Jesus Christ. 150,000 per year. Now, what I want to just say to you, in all of that, He's our anchor. Amen? He must be our anchor. Father, thank you so much today for your grace, goodness, and kindness to us. Thank you for the truth that you're the anchor of our soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.